Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
We are not the strictest parents when it comes to summertime.
Good.
I like letting her stay up a little.
My parents did the same thing.
She'll be out there watching TV, like grinding at 2:15. I'll walk out there and go to bed. What are you doing? She's like, it's summertime.
You're up.
No, I was getting up like to go to the bathroom or something.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't consistently up.
Oh, okay.
But now, yeah, before I go to
bed.
We
know that's a process. You'll be up after that.
That's right.
Fan on, light on.
A lot goes on.
Fire extinguisher.
There's
everything.
A lot of things going on there.
Chad Hastings.
I take nothing into the bathroom with me.
And Kevin Dunn.
You don't read on there?
I do what I need to do and I get out of there.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Day and night. Toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind.
Hour number three on a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Wasn't a ton of sports necessarily, but it all depends on what sports you like. I mentioned earlier, a little boxing replay on Ward and Kovalev, some UFC, Bellator. By the way, we didn't mention it yet. Let's give a shout out to our guy, Matt Mitrione, that we talked to at Super Bowl Radio Row. He was fighting a legend on Saturday night. Now, it's a legend who's lost a couple times here and there, but Fedor Emelianenko is a legendary name in mixed martial arts. At one time, he was the heavyweight that nobody could touch, and Matt Mitrione hit him so hard. Now, he got hit at the same time, but they hit each other so hard that they both went to a knee, but then Matt was able to get on Fedor and finish the fight, so congratulations to Matt Mitrione. Finally, the good luck of interviewing with us at Super Bowl Radio Row came home. That is one he can always put on his resume. Doesn't matter when you fought and beat Fedor, he fought and beat Fedor. So congrats to him. We also gave the big congrats to Jordan Spieth. What a shot out of the bunker. It was a tournament where he had to grind and scrap through lots of it. The last round was not great. If somebody could have put a round together, they could have chased Jordan down. But you just felt all day like nobody was going to be there. Nobody was coming to get him. Boo Weekly was there, and then he fell off. And then it was somebody else. Oh, and then he fell off. Hey, is Patrick Reed? No. He fell off. And the Burger Kid, I think that's his name, Durger, something like that. He put a little run on him, and I thought he was going to get him in the playoff. I did. Jordan just a couple shots had gone off here and there, and he wasn't quite himself. But he battled through it, gave Michael Greller a lot of credit, and got the win in the Travelers Open. That's his 10th win. He is younger, getting his 10th win, than Jack Nicklaus. A big Jack Nicklaus fan let us know earlier. Jack did it in less attempts, because he's Jack Nicklaus. But Tiger was a certain age, like 23 and 6 months, and now Jordan, I think, is 23 and like 10 months, because he's about to turn 24. An amazing start to a career. And obviously around here, folks cling to Jordan because he is a Longhorn. He was a Longhorn, won a national title, and now he has started a historic career to this point. So hopefully the things that he needed to tighten up will tighten up a little bit before we get to Open Championship time and PGA Championship time. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the intros that you love so much, playing music for you throughout the day. We've got some musical birthdays. We got all that kind of good stuff going on. And we are 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. We all have our Phil Steele magazines. Very exciting. The Phil Steele magazines are ready to go in our hands. I haven't actually done a good page sniffing today, so I'll probably go ahead and do that. I'll just pick a random page. And you know what? It ended up being Texas. Oh, that is a fresh Phil Steele.
It's not random,
right?
It's not.
There.
It is. I've been.
No, I was just thumbing. I was just thumbing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got a tab though.
And this is. This is Tulane. Oh, even Tulane smells good in June. That's fantastic. Mm. How about a little? It was Old Dominion. Oh, Old Dominion. There we go. Phil Steele's magazine is out.
Now we're waiting for football when even ODU smells
yeah,
good.
That's right. And Phil Steele is trolling each and every one of you Longhorn and Aggie fans by picking the two teams to face off in the Advocare, I think that's what they still call it, the Texas Bowl, the one that Texas lost to Arkansas, the one that the Aggies just lost to K-State, to be fair to both sides. Yeah, he's predicting that they'll meet in that bowl. So that's one prediction of Phil Steele's, I can tell you, will not come true. It ain't going to happen. There's no way both sides will agree to play there. It just won't happen.
I'd be surprised.
Because they could have already done it. The year Texas played Arkansas, the SEC could have sent the Aggies there, but they didn't. They sent A&M to play West Virginia because it was a better matchup for the Aggies, and they got that one. And they sent Arkansas to play Texas because they knew that was a good matchup for Arkansas, and Arkansas got that one.
Yeah, SEC's good about that.
Yeah.
They look at run defense, and
they
look at all types of stuff. He does have the 2017 toughest schedules that, you know, who knows at this point, but I always get a kick out of where he has Texas. He's got Texas right now as the 24th toughest schedule. Texas Tech at 19. Let's see who else that in the Big 12. Not a lot of Big 12 schools in there.
Who's got the toughest schedule according to Phil Steele? Who's number one?
LSU.
Really?
California 2, UCLA 3, Syracuse 4, Mississippi State 5.
All right.
He's got your Aggies at 29.
They got a tough schedule. No doubt. They got a tough one.
Oklahoma at 42,
even
with the addition of Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a little surprising. I would think that would be a little higher, but it's also one where you have so many different teams to factor in, and we'll find out by the end of the year what that is. Because if you look at it, other than Ohio State, their non-conference is not much.
No, UTEP, Tulane aren't going to help. And then what else that shows is he's not ranking the Big 12 to have. Because if Texas Tech's your toughest schedule of Big 12 schools and they're in the 20s, well, that's saying something.
But what's interesting to me, I've kept track of it every year. We talk about it every year, where we'll go week by week through a season, and the number of teams in like the top 15 from the SEC and the Big 12, it's been comparable the last few years.
Yeah, no, it has been.
It's right there.
Outside of really last year, on the field, the Big 12's been fine. If you want to honestly look at it, I mean, if you want to call someone up and ask.
And order a pizza or something.
They'll tell you.
They will let
you know.
They'll
tell you. Outside of last year.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Like, I'll always make that argument sometimes. That
it could be depth you're talking about.
Yeah, right. I mean, depth of the conference, I get. But as far as having some quality teams ranked in the country, sometimes I'll tell the Big 12 fans, I might like your conference and respect it more than you do as a member of the conference, because there's maybe three or four teams that are, you know, still fighting for that. But obviously right now, this is a season for the Big 12 to get its respect back. And we've also talked about it. That is saying that is also saying, Texas, anytime you're ready, come bring this conference back, because the two Oklahoma schools are there. Couple of the other schools are going to be there. As soon as Texas gets back to a decent level, I think those discussions may go away a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's common thought. We'll see. I mean, I do see a mistake here on Phillip, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of mistake?
He's got Texas having 10 starters returning on defense, and one of those is one Gary Johnson. Unless we're talking about the power forward, this Gary Johnson hadn't played here before.
Oh. Yeah. I guess that would be
some weird
true
things regarding that magazine that you guys are spotting early on here.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier he does not have the Malik.
Phil, you started Coke Habit.
Phil, I knew that was you. He does not have the Malik Zaire thing in the Florida page at all. At all.
We're nitpicking.
Now, to be fair, I've only read the quarterback section, so maybe there's something else I missed in the overall section where he just, you know, threw it in there, but I didn't see it in the quarterback discussion of Malik Zaire, and he's not in the two deep, and he's not listed as a starter, and I can't find him in the other guys listed there. So,
but he has Florida as a top 10 school preseason.
Yeah, he likes their quarterback position. He liked what Del Rio did in the spring and all that. That's a team, and of course, if you're an Aggie fan, you know you got to go to the Swamp this year and face probably Malik Zaire. Aggies also have to face Jared Stidham, who's now at Auburn. That's another new quarterback I really want to see, a quarterback we know that is in a new place. And coming back to the Big 12, Kevin, I was kind of looking over TCU stuff today. I mean, this should be an interesting year to see where Kenny Hill ends up, because we all walked into last year thinking, okay, we know what it looked like when he was wearing the A&M uniform against South Carolina, but then it fell apart. What is he going to be? He had some good, but he also had a lot of interceptions. There was sloppiness there. I wonder if Kenny Hill gets cleaned up for 2017.
I think their offense is going to be better, and I've thought that for a little while. But if you look at what they've got, a lot of seniors and a lot of guys back. This right here says they've got 10 starters back. We'll see about that. No, but a lot of these guys are the names you recognize. The only guy is their right tackle, who they're pretty high on, who's a sophomore. and who played in a lot of games. So I would think that when you get experience, that they're going to be as good as they can be. The question is, how healthy are they? How healthy can they be? Not only on that side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball, where, you know, they return a bunch of guys on defense too. And they were banged up, man.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Really an injured team. And then, you know, can Kenny Hill take the job too? Like last year, I think it was 3 or 4 times that he was replaced and he was benched. He was benched repeatedly, but you'd think he's the guy. They still also have, what's that guy's name? Sawyer. Is he back again or no? I don't know. He's not back. So Kenny Hill is in his senior year. I think Sawyer's last year was this past season. They play at Arkansas September 9th. Could be a little something to look at. The others are SMU and Jackson State. I guess we should mention Chad Morris at SMU, right?
Yeah, no, did yeah, right.
Because you saw a couple of those games last year where you thought, okay, you could see the system is there. The system is in place. They're trying to get it done.
Yeah, and they beat SMU. They beat them 56-37 a couple years ago, then beat them last year 33-3. It was actually 15 that their defense was incredibly banged up. They had injuries last year, but I also remember they had a couple guys that weren't injured or maybe because of some preseason-type injuries didn't fit in the secondary, and there were just some gaps talent-wise, and that's where I'm always curious because he does a really good job recruiting, but we know how he does it. Mm-hmm. Can these guys turn into the type of defenders that fit in his system?
Yeah, and every once in a while, we know it's going to be – you talked about earlier in the show about coaches that can argue to their front office and to their AD about, well, yeah, we may be down. Gary's one of those guys that can, if something's been down, Gary can always go back and say, look, man, we've been there. We've been there.
Right. I mean, okay, we're 4-8-13. Then we go 12-1, 11-2, fall back to 6-7. A lot of that is the guy and how long he's been there and how much he has some credibility and can say that. And the other thing is the program.
Oh, yeah.
So you can say that at Arizona State, like we're talking about, at a TCU, and you don't get away with that at Texas.
Chad and Kevin with you on this Monday, only 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. So go grab your Phil Steele, get your Dave Campbell. We'll give you chances to win Dave Campbell's magazine coming up in July. When I was picking up my Phil Steele, I saw Athlon and I saw Lindy's and I saw whatever your favorite magazine is, go grab it. We are fans of the Phil Steele, but hey, you know, whatever your magazine is, go grab it, check it out, get ready. 68 days away from that first Saturday.
I used to get all of them. I haven't gotten Athlon and Lindy's in years.
You used to go pile it up like 5.
I used to have 5 or 6, but I mean, this is so much better than a lot of those. Just kind of changed the last maybe 10-15 years, and it's just real surface stuff.
Well, and they put it out so early, that's why.
Right, that's why, exactly.
They try to pump that thing out, and you feel like it's coming out like in late April.
Yeah, it's good for pictures.
Right after the spring game, like, what are you doing?
Good for pictures.
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, Phil Steele seems to wait a little longer, that's why we kind of dig that one. Find your favorite magazine, get ready for college football. College baseball is going to end in the next couple days. Florida and LSU, an SEC battle for the national title, 6 o'clock on ESPN. The Oregon State train finally ran out of gas. And I was thinking about it today. That whole Luke Heimlich story, if it was in college football, if it was even in college basketball, I think it would have gotten massive amounts of coverage. I think that story is going to be ultimately not missed. Some people covered it, but that would have been a much bigger story in a different sport. That's going to kind of roll under the radar as they go out. But to not have your best pitcher there for the reason that you didn't have your best pitcher there.
Right.
You know, I don't think that the full national sports media really grabbed that story.
Yeah, in terms of them losing, I don't put much into it because Luke didn't hit.
Now, that's true.
I mean, you got 2 runs in 18 innings. So
that's true.
When they're looking at it, they're going to go, man, right. What? And some of the umpiring, some of the calls. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right nationally, considering just how crazy both those stories were. But like I said, I mean, they're going to go down as a 1982 Texas, and that's okay. You know, Texas finished 57-4. Well, we don't talk about 82 like we talk about the other ones, do we?
Right. I was going to say, you're a Texas fan. Is it really okay?
I mean, no, I mean, it just is what it is, right. You know? I mean, because it's baseball. In football, yeah. You almost have no excuse if you're that dominant to not finish it off. You do, but you don't feel like you have as much of one. Baseball is just baseball.
And like Texas, they also have, they don't have as many, but they have a couple to fall back on, too. They've actually won the thing.
They've actually won the thing. And for them, it was more about they worked their butt off in the offseason. I mean, they worked at a, and that's what you see. Texas did that after 04. Usually those teams that have special years, there's just a crazy work ethic and a drive and a motivation, and that was to get back to Omaha. They exceeded all that with having one of the best regular seasons of all time and then ran into a really good LSU team and just didn't, you know, with the bats cooled off those 3 days.
Boy, it did. That's crazy. I was hoping Oregon State could get there, but instead, LSU beat them 3-1 and 6-1. TCU could not win two from Florida. Florida beat them 3-0 in the last game. So Gators and Tigers, here we go.
At the end of the day, if you ask Pat Casey right now, you can redo it, but you guys have to play that third game the next day. Would you do it? He'd say, yeah.
Right, it ended up being a rhythm thing, a rust.
Rhythm thing.
Rhythm and rust.
Plus and that, good pitching. Lang had some lights out stuff.
Yeah, and from what I understand, a badass zoo deli.
Right.
Heavy food in there.
What did you guys eat at the zoo?
Lots of garlicky, like popcorn to weigh you down. I think they have like potato skins they're famous for.
Garlicky popcorn sounds good.
It does, doesn't it?
You ever roasted garlic and put it on some popcorn?
I've never done that. No, see, I don't take that kind of time with food. I should.
You should.
I should, but I don't.
I roasted 4 or 5 cloves yesterday.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
That sounds dangerous, but
you use it throughout the week. Turn it into a mayonnaise?
Garlic mayonnaise?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds tasty.
Put it in my marinara sauce, my Sunday gravy.
I wish I could go back in time and make you my roommate just for a while, just for the food part.
Just for the food part?
I might learn a few things.
What are you making right now?
What are you doing
in there? Blue Ribbon's been helping you out.
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. I'm
yes,
sorry, Blue
that
Ribbon.
Yes, that helps out, too, because that's all. When it's all written out with pictures,
yeah.
Oh, that really helps out.
It's about experimenting a little bit.
That definitely helps out.
Man, yeah. I'm telling you, I really dug, and maybe I'm overblowing it, but it was slow for live stuff, outside of baseball, some baseball stuff we need to get into, but I really dug the Celtics-Lakers, the 30 for 30. I thought all three parts, and I kind of said, well, I wanted to get into it so bad in part one, and I didn't know if they were going to hit enough of the stuff in parts 2 and 3, which they did, but all the way through, it brought back a lot of fun memories.
I said earlier, if you take it away from the 30, take it out of that normal 30 for 30 discussion because it was so long, three parts. You know, there was the OJ Made in America one that was 5 parts. This one was 3 parts, but also 2 people didn't get brutally murdered in any of the 3 parts. So to go three parts that intricate, that deep, to something that was fantastic, to something that is the golden era of a sport that you and I grew up watching. I hope a lot of people appreciated it. I hope people older than us watched it and liked it. More importantly, I hope people younger than us watched it and gained an appreciation, if they didn't have it, for who Magic Johnson is and was, what Larry Bird meant to that league, and what those two teams meant to the NBA, and what those battles were like. Because they were some just amazing series.
I kept on thinking, too, and like I said, just time takes away some of the brilliance. But your comment about you take Magic over LeBron, isn't that crazy?
Well,
it's not that crazy.
No, I mean,
depending on what you're looking for.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's where when we were talking about the whole Magic, or excuse me, the whole Jordan, you know, LeBron thing that came up a few weeks ago, my comment was, to be fair to Magic Johnson, I don't know if I'd put him above Magic right now, just because, and again, I may be a child of the 80s and I'm overcooking it, but you watch that and it reminded you when he got going.
You think both are top 5 all time?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. No, I think both are in that discussion. But you know, the other thing great about that, it showed you the flaws of everybody, even Magic. It showed you what Magic had to fight through. It showed you Magic.
How he got better.
How he got a coach fired. How he wanted to get better at certain things. And at one point he says, I had to get better if we were going to beat the Celtics. I just had to do it. And it also fully explained to me, reminded me as a 42-year-old, why I went Lakers over Celtics. Because as I was growing up, I was an underdog guy, right? I'm raised by an Aggie. You got to be an underdog guy in that discussion because Texas won the game way more often.
Agreed.
And was usually winning it.
Now your NFL team, you're going to have some explaining to do here.
The NFL thing was strictly area, geography, right?
And in fairness, the other team you picked up maybe was the most pathetic NFL team of all time.
That one was. I liked them because I guess they were an underdog. But in this case,
that would be the Bucks, kiddos.
That was the Buccaneers, right. But in this case, it was like, wait, the Celtics won how many in a row? 8, Chad. And Russell has how many? 11. And had the Lakers ever beaten them? No. Well, I'm rooting for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Plus, throw flashy jerseys in there, bright yellow jerseys. Yeah, I'm ready to go. But yeah, that was fantastic. So yeah, Kevin's putting that 30 for 30 with Lakers and Celtics up in in that top three category. I think it's that good.
Yeah, and it may be. I may have to turn that into a top four because Catholics Convicts is going to be in there. You notice how three of them have to do with college football.
Well, sure. I would have assumed.
Right.
I would have assumed so.
I mean, now once Billy Bates comes out and that 30 for 30.
That's true.
Billy Bates and the Bat Boy.
Even though you hate the guy, I'm sure, for what he was, how good was the Bosworth one for you? Because I thought that one was pretty good.
I thought it was way too scripted.
Okay.
I mean, in the whole public storage, and now it felt way too manufactured.
Okay. That one I enjoyed. I don't know if I top five enjoyed it, but I thought it was good.
I know some people that worked on it. So, I mean, they did a good job, but the way it came out. And that's also, like you said, with the Celtics-Lakers one. You write stuff on paper and you plan stuff out and you don't know where it's going to go. You're giving me Ice Cube and Donnie Wahlberg. Talk about two fanboy homers.
Right.
It played out well, though, the way they did it.
Yeah, somehow it worked out perfectly. They did a great job. All right, big three coming up. Then we'll get into the crab bag, some people hitting people. And then I'll hit Kevin with some old school and some baseball numbers. Got some names he might recognize today. It's the Horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Monday. Trey's got some music for you. What do you got, Trey?
The bassist of Radiohead has a birthday today, so here is some High and Dry.
Radiohead with a birthday today. I did not catch the Radiohead birthday. My bad.
I love that.
Big Radiohead. Are you a big fan of the Radiohead?
Big Radiohead fan.
What are Radiohead fans called? Headheads? Radioheads?
Radioheads.
Radioheads. Is that the whole thing? Yeah. Never saw Radiohead live. I heard that's a good show. I heard that they were really interesting live.
I don't think I have.
I have not either.
No. Still together, Radiohead?
They are. As a matter of fact, they just reissued OK Computer, which is their most critically acclaimed album of the 9 or 10 that they've put out. It is the 20-year anniversary of that album. And so they just re-released that, remastered certain tracks, and there are also a couple of previously unreleased tracks that were made around the same time.
I'm going to see if I can get Trey to music nerd out on you real quick. Trey, do you think OK Computer is Radiohead's best album?
I understand the argument as to why it is. Sure, I could consider it Radiohead's best album. A lot of folks, for some reason, their first album that Creep was on, people hate that album. No. I do not hate Pablo Honey nearly as much as a lot of other people do. I think the argument could be made for The Bends as their best album, which was the one right before OK Computer. They started to get fairly electronic after that. So while there are songs that I like on albums afterward, I'm not as big a fan of the albums as a whole as I am OK Computer and The Bends.
I told you I could get him to nerd out for you. That's good. Radiohead with
I couldn't name any of their albums. I like their stuff, though.
I have not heard three Radiohead tracks three Radiohead tracks full my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
It is a little weird. Yeah, it's a band I never, for
I think
some reason,
like them.
It never, I like Creep. And other,
Creep's a great song.
Creep, and there might be another one I've heard all the way through, but
You've heard Paranoid Android all the way through, I'm guessing.
I don't think I've heard a second of OK Computer, the album.
Hold on a second.
I don't know that I've heard a moment of it.
I bet you have.
And I certainly haven't sat down to listen to the album.
Well, I know. It's not your official deal.
Right, exactly.
You heard this song?
But for 99% of us human beings, this counts as listening right here.
Right. I have now. The main reason is it was a rejoin on a show I was on for years.
Well, it was a rejoin that I played.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Then that's why I know it.
But you haven't heard him actually singing in this song?
No. Never sat through this whole song.
How about this one?
You've definitely heard this.
Not super familiar now.
Wow. All right, maybe you haven't.
Man.
I'm telling you, it's a sad truth.
That's a great song right there. Like Karma Police?
Yep.
Oh, I got that one right.
Look at you.
Nicely done.
Like I always say, you can't know it all, you can't own it all when it comes to music, and there's some bands that'll slip through the cracks. That's one of them.
It slipped.
I got nothing bad to say about Radiohead.
Oh, you got time. You're not dying.
Right. I'm hopefully not. Yeah, let me get time to write down Radiohead. All right, before we get you some crap bag, how about a big three for you?
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
How many times can you do something that the people that you're working with just absolutely hate before you just have to stop doing it?
How many times can one do it, or can you
do it?
It's
up to the person.
Me, specifically, because I'm the one responsible for that Big 3 sponsorship.
I think you just kind of let us know.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've known you long enough that it has to be a lot.
So it was a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
But we've moved on from that era.
Okay.
I just wanted you guys to know.
Okay, oh, good. Okay.
It was
okay.
Good
no,
to hear. It was going to have to be. I expect you to challenge me and Kevin from time to time. So I'm really expecting it most days. All right. Tonight in Omaha, Nebraska, you got Florida and LSU for the national championship. Well, best of three. This is game one. Nobody can win it tonight. No national titles for Florida yet. LSU's looking for number 7, in case you haven't got that list in front of you. 6 o'clock on ESPN. So we'll keep you updated here in about 25 minutes. Florida took 2 out of 3 in the middle of the season, in case you care. Football-wise, good news for Texas over the weekend. Shane Buechel wins the quarterback challenge at the Manning Passing Academy. We had somebody text in, hey guys, this is good news. I hadn't heard you talk about it, but good news, right? And like we said, it can't be bad news. That cannot be a bad thing.
No.
Good names are there, names like Darnold, names like Browning, names like Hurts, names like Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner. If you want to nitpick on some things, there was weather in the area. Each and every guy apparently didn't do every single thing. I haven't seen like a breakdown of it, but for today, you take it for what it is. Hey, the guy that you think is going to be your starter won the quarterback competition at the Manning Academy, and there's no way that's bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yep,
good stuff,
totally agree.
Good stuff, Shane. And good stuff for the Longhorns on the recruiting front. And the new commitment is Rondale Moore, a receiver out of Louisville, 3-star guy, and a burner. 4.33 in the 40, 42.7 on the vert. He is in, and now the 12th guy, as I mentioned, in the 2018 class.
He sounds like just a super athlete. I mean, you hear the size. That doesn't scare me. I like having guys like that. I think you can complement things. You look at a lot of good receiving cores or just more skill talent that you have. And a lot of those guys have been overlooked because of their size, and it was a bad move, bad mistake by the team.
I saw a quote from the kid. If you're a Texas fan that wants it to be more than just football and you want it to be more of a well-rounded discussion, the kid had some quotes that, you know, he loved the full presentation that the Texas coaches made, but he also mentioned, yeah, a lot of times we talked about stuff other than football.
Nice.
We talked about life after football, and I really want to have that set up. And he felt like Tom Herman and his group put a presentation together that focused on that, too. So if you're one of those people that wants to hear that, sounds like that's what's being told right now.
Yeah, well, I am one of those people. I think it's smart. You have to utilize whatever you have going for you. Brian Kelly's been, you talk about all the things working against Notre Dame in recruiting, where he's really turned it around. Recruiting-wise, they've been okay. And a lot of that has been, he's been selling this 40-year idea. This is a 40-year decision for you.
Right.
You go to a school like this with the connections and having that degree, it can really change your life, and I think Texas can play that too.
Tonight, Houston Astros are off, and they won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Get a little rest before a series begins tomorrow. They're up 13 in the division. Rangers trying to chase them. They're at Cleveland tonight. It's Cole Hamels and Carlos Carrasco at 6:10. And in the world of golf, we talked about Jordan Spieth's big win. Huge shot out of the bunker. Gets him his 10th career win at a younger age than Jack Nicklaus did that. And then tonight in the NBA, you got your award show. TNT, Drake's going to host at 8 o'clock. I just saw a story that mentioned 75 days ago the regular season ended. Now, I don't know when the perfect moment, Kevin, is to announce when the MVP is of the league. I think it's before 75 days pass, though.
Yeah, they just know that it's going to be a dead time.
Right.
It's smart from that angle, but yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, I think it seems
it seems a little after the fact.
A little bit strange there.
Hey, getting back to Rangers and Yankees, you got to feel better, though. I mean, you look at where the Rangers are, game over 500, and the Yankees actually have struggled. I think the Yankees are 2-8 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have had injuries, you've had all types of issues. You've had 14 blown saves, but you're still looking pretty good in the wild card hunt.
Yeah. Game and a half out.
Game and a half out, right?
Somehow, coming out of the weekend. Yeah, Rangers getting 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium, and they've won 4 out of their last 6. All right, there's some big three for you. Let's jump on into the crap bag, shall we?
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just
Think of a bag of crap.
All right. All kinds of stuff going on this weekend. As I mentioned Friday, a lot of people hitting people, both scripted and unscripted. First of all, shout out to Suplex Stu for having me out to this wrestling deal. There's this underground...
How was that?
Yeah, it was interesting. There's this independent wrestling organization. There's multiple organizations going on in Austin. There's like a whole wrestling scene that Stu, not that Stu found it or anything, but that Stu has really fallen in love with. And, dude, I'm walking in. He just walks me right in. Some dude in the crowd yells out, "Stu!"
Where is this now?
And it was at 800 Congress. So 8th and Congress. It was packed, which for that place is like 700 people or a little over. And then we literally walked through where the wrestlers were going to come out later. And then I hear a fan off to my side say, "Hey, should we start the Stu chant?" And I thought, there's a Stu chant? Like, Stu is there all the time. These people know him. It was fantastic getting to hang out with him. And so it was a cool event Saturday night. Dive Hard with a Vengeance was the name of the event. And these guys, for what they put their bodies through, they do not get paid near enough. I don't know what they get paid.
How old are they?
They don't get paid. It varies. I mean, there's a lot of a range there. I saw people that you could tell I've been doing it a while, but I saw some people that are young and, you know, trying to make their way up. Shout out to James Strickland for the great entrance. He comes into Chaka Khan's, what's that song? I lost the song, but a great little entrance or whatever. The crowd goes absolutely crazy for that. It was amazing. Like, I'm impressed. What's that song called? Come on, man. I can't come up with it.
I can't help you.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right. Anyway, but good show Saturday night, and thanks to Stu for having me out for that.
Chaka Khan, old artist or young artist?
Chaka Khan's the 80s.
That's I thought. Yeah, I thought I'd 80s. Heard the name.
Yeah, and I just, for some reason, can't come up with the song title. But it's a great, the place went just nuts. It was awesome. So that's going on. In fact,
was it YMCA?
And this, no. This Sunday, there's a group called Inspire Pro Wrestling. They're having an event here in town. There's all kinds
of
stuff.
A lot of wrestling happening.
Yeah, and check out hornfm.com and our podcast section if you want to check out Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu's podcast. Stu and Justin do a great job every week with that. There's also the Fight Night podcast. I mentioned earlier Matt Mitrione, who we interviewed at Super Bowl Radio Row. He beat Fedor.
UFC guy?
Fedor had won. This was actually a Bellator fight. Mitrione used to be in UFC. Fedor's fought a little bit. This was
Bellator's a league. You said, right?
Yeah, the other organization. Kind of think of it as AAA, I guess. If UFC's the big time, Bellator's kind of one step down. But Fedor had won 5 in a row, and that's Matt's biggest win of his career. That was big for him. And I mentioned the UFC card last night. UFC's got big stuff coming in July because you've got the Ultimate Fighter finale plus another pay-per-view. They got a pay-per-view early in the month. They got Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier late in the month. So lots of people punching people. And I saw the Andre Ward replay over Kirilenko. That was a nice fight for Andre. I'm not sure if he's pound-for-pound best fighter in the world.
Kirilenko had at least some reach on him, right?
He did. I hadn't
seen him fight.
But he had reach, and man, Andre really focused on those lower punches.
Yeah.
Some would say low blows. Andre would say borderline punches. I didn't think the referee did a great job dealing with those, but man, once Ward knew he was hurt, he kept going to the body. He didn't use the theory of, I'm going to go body and then head. He went body, and I'm just going to keep hitting you in the body. And I'm going to basically bend you like a pretzel till you quit. And that's what Kirilenko did. Also, some good boxing coming up. I saw that Chocolatito Gonzalez is going to fight the guy that beat him, the Surin Visai guy. That was a great fight the first time. They're going to rematch in September, like the 2nd or the 9th, something like that, as we lead into the Mayweather, or excuse me, it'll be right after Mayweather and Connor, and as we lead into the Triple G fight. So there's a lot of good stuff coming if you like watching people punch people after they've agreed to do so. Also, in the crap bag, you know I got to throw some old school Kevin's Way and some other stuff. I'm not sure if we covered this one last year, but it's a great one, and because it sounds slightly dirty. Jerome Kersey would have been 55 years old today. Now the late Jerome Kersey. He died back in 2015. Any idea where Jerome Kersey went to school?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'd never heard of this place. Jerome Kersey, of course, of those Portland teams back in the
80s. It would take 10, 15 minutes, so just tell me.
Longwood University.
Okay.
I'd never heard of it, and it sounds kind of dirty.
It does sound dirty.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp, 49 years old today, the famous tight end. It's a good lesson, and they'll find you if you're good. Old school?
Yeah, wasn't he Valdosta or something like that?
You're in the right realm. Yeah, Savannah State.
Savannah State, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a tough. I can never remember that one. Chad Pennington is 41. Old school.
A couple of Marshall. Uh-huh. Also Florida, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it was more than one with him. Marshall's the one I was thinking of there. Michael Vick is 37 years old today. Doggone it. Old school.
That was one of the freakish performances in a loss we've seen.
Yep. The Florida State.
Virginia Tech. Yeah. Man, he was. Just the speed and the arm.
Is there anybody in your life that you can think of that got more respect from you in a loss? Because I can't. I think that's my number one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm sure. But
because I gained a lot of respect for that cat that night.
But yeah,
not that I didn't
definitely
have it. But it's like
you thought this guy could be at a. You kind of felt like he's changing the game.
We always talk about it. It wasn't. We knew he could do those things, but we saw him do it against Temple, and we saw him do it because Virginia Tech was playing in a lesser conference back in those days, a lesser Big East, I think is what it was back then. But to see him do it against those Florida State defenders was stupid.
Yeah, that Florida State team was loaded. That's a fun one to go back and watch.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. Raymond Felton is 33 today. Basketball player, old school.
He was Carolina.
Uh-huh, North Carolina.
Is he still playing?
Back in the day. I don't know.
He still is, yeah. I've seen him somewhere.
He might be in this three-on-three thing.
He looks like he'd probably fit.
Back to the guys who are playing now. Darren Williams, 33 today.
Darren Williams, the Colony.
That's true. Look
the
at
Colony,
you.
Then Illinois.
Then Illinois, that is correct. And some baseball numbers. Let's go with three large names here from the past. How about Charlie Hustle himself, Pete Rose?
Whoa, 14.
Very good, very good. How about Ricky Henderson?
24.
24 is correct. I would have also accepted 39, 35, 22, 14, and 25.
I was going to ask you, because 24 is the only one I can remember him. Like, remember he was New York, he was Yankee A, Yankee A, Yankee A. It's like they traded him every. I thought he had a contract with both teams.
Yeah, he and Billy Martin. I think they just moved
Billy
him
Martin
around
is the other one,
just
exactly.
Moving him all over the place. And finally, how about the kid? Ken Griffey Jr.'s number?
24.
24 is correct.
Yeah, I like those old ones.
Yeah, I would have also accepted 33 and 17.
And did he not wear 30? To try and become his, you said 33?
No, 30, comma, 3.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
And then 17.
Because he wore 30 like his dad did.
Correct, yep.
Maybe the second, maybe in Cincinnati.
He wore it in Cincinnati to give his dad a little love.
Okay.
Paying homage to his dad, yeah.
And we think he's clean, right?
Ken Griffey Jr., God, I hope so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's one guy I think is absolutely clean.
My dad and I were having a conversation over the weekend, and he said, we were talking about somehow Piazza came up, and he goes, well, I mean, obviously he was dirty. I go, yeah, he was, you know. It's sad, but I mean, most likely a weight room guy like that drafted where he was, and then you explode.
Right.
It just sucks. You have to almost lean that way.
Yeah, I don't care, you know, I don't care as much about that stuff as some people do, but with Ken
Neither
Griffey Jr., God, I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope that that it was all peanut butter sandwiches and milk.
and just that beautiful swing.
Yeah.
Just bat speed, right?
And maybe the prettiest swing I've ever seen in my life. By the way, speaking of pretty swings, did you see that Giancarlo Stanton has agreed to go back and, with no surprise, but go to the Home Run Derby at his home park?
Oh, yeah, he should.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I think that's going to be great. Yeah, I did see that earlier, and I'm always excited to see guys like that. To me, that type of show is what makes All-Star Weekend fun. It's why you want to get the dunk contest going again.
Absolutely. And so he'll try to break his record of 61 homers from last year.
He hit 61?
61 is the number I saw.
Now, today. How are they doing the scoring again? Is it totality?
They're doing, yeah, I mean, that was the total homers, but they're trying to get it where you don't have to wear a guy out, so you get a certain amount of homers, and then I think it gets you the next round or whatever. So Stanton's in. I didn't see any other names that are for sure. I would love to see the Trouts and Harpers jump in there with him. We will see if that happens.
Trout won't, because he's still rehabbing.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I mean,
true.
Well, yeah, no, he won't. There's not enough time.
And what's the great news on the Home Run Derby in 2017? Carl Ravitch calls it instead of Chris Berman.
Really?
Yay!
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that says a lot about Berman when Ravitch is good news.
Yeah.
But you're right.
I've been begging for Ravitch to call that thing for 10 years.
I think you have.
Just to say, let him try. Could it be that horrible? Right? Give him a shot. I guarantee you the people around him will respect him more than they do Berman.
So the Cubs are, I'm telling you, man, we're going to stick with baseball here. A couple things. One, did you see that Kenley Jansen gave up his first walk in 2017?
Oh, dear God.
He'd struck out major league record 51 batters before issuing his first walk.
Wow.
God, I wanted that guy. I wanted that guy bad.
Let me see if I can do this. Kenley Jansen is the Dodgers closer?
Yeah. Remember, okay. He was the guy last year who came in, and he was lights out whenever he could go.
He got to this part of June before walking a dude?
That's stupid. Especially with electric stuff.
Oh, that's dumb.
I mean, to have that many strikeouts, but I was looking at some numbers today with Rizzo and Bryant. It truly is amazing how bad they've been with runners in scoring position. And the Cubs in general. I look at some of the Astros numbers, and the Cubs are really polar opposite of when it counts, when you need to be good.
They've been awful with runners in scoring position. I remember a series not long ago where they were 0-14 the series.
Yeah, that was at San Diego, too, so you're not in Houston here.
That's true. All right, we'll see if we have any voicemails coming up. 337-3776. 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. We got our Phil Steele's magazines. Go get yours. Football's coming. This is The Horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Monday. Little Radiohead bass player with a birthday today. Also, corrections from the people. We appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's not Kevin that got all this stuff wrong. It was me. 337-3776.
Shaka?
We'll get to that. We'll get to the Shaka Khan. But somebody reminded me it is Alexei Kovalev, the light heavyweight champion. I said Kirilenko. I think I was mixing him up with Andre Kirilenko, maybe.
You didn't get that joke with me. I didn't deliver it very well. I talked about reach.
I screwed that up. Was that a joke and then I took it?
No. Well, then also, I actually saw Kirilenko, Andre, one time in a game get into where he's like trying to, and he does have crazy reach.
I got you.
He also
gets
a freebie every year.
But Alexei Kovalev is the guy that Andre Ward beat, the former light heavyweight champ. Also, let me get this straight for all those, for the few wrestling folks out there. Shaka Khan's Ain't Nobody song that Shane Strickland comes out to. That's another 80s one you would know. Ain't nobody love me better. That Shaka Khan song.
I would know that.
He comes to the ring. The place goes crazy. He does this great intro.
Shaka Khan's a woman, correct?
She is a woman, okay. Yes. And they had a four-way ladder match that was absolutely crazy to be had in this little building. But that company is called Wrestle Circus, and this weekend, I believe it's this Sunday, there's an event from Inspire Pro Wrestling. In fact, Stu sent me an article today where somebody had written up about this wrestling scene that's in Austin now. So if you're into that kind of thing, if you want to check out some pro wrestling, and you're definitely up close and personal, 700 people when that place is packed over at 800 Congress. It was fun to check out, and man, they are putting it on the line. A lot of dives outside of the ring, and people crashing into seats and stuff. So if you're sitting in the front row, watch out.
Cool,
they're coming for you.
Sounds like Esther's Follies.
It was a lot going on. Couple more people getting banged up than Esther's Follies, but at times still is funny.
About Crazy Carl in the back. I'm thinking about some of that.
Crazy Carl is getting, it's getting.
Carry on doing some physical comedy.
He's doing it. Thanks to the folks who send in on the text line and keep me straight and try to correct my mistakes. We had a Shaka Khan fan. It's like, what song is it, Chad? Please tell me. Ain't Nobody is the song I was trying to think of. Also talking some football today, 68 days away from Texas and Maryland. Almost done with this hour. Let's see if we have voicemails today. 337-3776. Any voicemails, Trey, from the good folks today on a Monday? Kind of a slow, summery day.
We'll call it two voicemails.
Two voicemails from the people. Maybe one from Shaka Khan herself. Voicemail number one.
Yeah, Turpin. Rondale Moore looks like the Turpin kid from TCU.
Daniel Turpin?
Kevontae Turpin.
Kevontae Turpin.
Is that right?
Is that it?
I think Turpin's got a...
I think he's number 25.
Are you trying to make him a Dave Turpin? Come on, man. You got to give him a better name. I think it's Kevontae. No, I think that's the first
name.
I'm
pretty sure it is Kevontae, too.
That's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know if it's a comparison, but maybe he was comparing him to him. But of the guys we're talking about, those type of guys, he fits perfectly.
The guys that you're calling the nugget-sized football players.
Yeah, Kevontae's a junior this year, but he's listed at 5'9", 153, and man, he can go. He got us his freshman year.
Yes, he did. Oh, my God. That was the blowout game in Fort Worth.
Kid can go.
That was a bloodbath game, and he was all over the field. All right, let's go voicemail number two.
Meacham Mungumbi just recognized that they kept trying to cover Turpin going over the middle with linebackers, and they just kept throwing those little slip passes underneath, and he was just blowing past everybody.
That was a game that shocked me with Charlie, too. It's like how it kept on adding up, and I thought, man, this can't happen. And not with you being a defensive guy, it can't.
Right. Yep. That and the Kansas State game especially. They just kept running the same two or three plays over and again, and there was no adjustment made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Voicemail number two.
Hey, guys. It's Monkey Hastings. Hey, Dad, can you pick up some white rice from Panda on the way home? Thank you. Love you. Bye.
See, that could be realistic. You okay there?
I think that makes it worse.
You look like you're nauseated.
I don't think that makes it any better.
You said that she got that a lot in Hawaii?
I did. The fact that that dude heard it and then regurgitated it onto a voicemail creeps me out.
It's tough to regurgitate white rice.
That's true.
It'll stick.
It sticks.
It sticks.
It's a sticking kind of food. That definitely that definitely happens. All right, 6 o'clock hour coming up. 68 days away from Texas and Maryland, and there was some Texas football news from over the weekend. A little recruiting and a little Shane Buechele taking out the rest of the country when it comes to quarterbacks. Well, not the whole rest of the country, but they showed up at the Manning Passing Academy and apparently won the thing. We'll talk about that and also keep you updated on Omaha. The championship series is about to begin between Florida and LSU. This is The Horn.